2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha helps a poor widow. The widow of the sons of one of the sons of the prophets came to Elisha and said, "My husband has died. He was a man who feared God, but he owed a lot of money to another man, and that man has now come to take away my two boys as slaves in order to pay off what my husband owed him." Now, the sons of the prophets were groups of people who focused upon God's word, because to be a prophet didn't mean just to foretell the future. It meant to speak out God's word, to speak forth God's word, not just to foretell the future. So these were groups of people that were around in the time of Elijah and Elisha who focused upon speaking God's word to other people and, of course, studying it for themselves. And they lived in communities like this, and yeah, they were ordinary people. And as you can see, one of them had got into debt, borrowed money, and had died, not able to pay it off. And his wife now had to pay the debt, and she couldn't. And so this man who had lent the money said, "Well, I'll take your two boys as slaves. And so what shall I do for you?" Elisha asked. "What have you got back at home?" "I've got nothing at all," she replied, "only just one little jar of olive oil." So she says, "I've got nothing apart from one very small jar." And so that is how it is with us. We can think, "Well, I am nothing, I've got nothing, nothing at all." But even the very small things that we do have, God can use. So Elisha said to her, "Go to your neighbours and friends and borrow as many empty jars as you can. Then you and your boys go into the house, close the door, and pour out the oil into the jars. As soon as each jar is full, put it to one side." So the woman went into her house with her sons, shut the door, took the small jar of olive oil, and started pouring the oil into the jars that her sons had brought to her. When they'd filled all the jars, she asked them if there were any more. "No," one of her sons replied, "that was the last one." And so the olive oil stopped flowing. She went back to Elisha the prophet, who said to her, "Now sell that oil and pay all your debts, and there will be enough money left over for you and your sons to live on." So the extent of the miracle depended upon how many of those pots or jars she borrowed. If she'd only borrowed, say, two or three of them, thinking, "Well, this sounds a crazy idea, I don't know how true this is, I don't know if it's all going to work out," then the extent of the miracle would have been far less. So in many things, God is kind of open-ended, and he allows us to decide the degree to which we're going to let him work, as it were. Reminds me of the man who came to Jesus and said, "Can you help me? If you can do anything, well, please do." And Jesus basically says, "I can do everything. But if you can believe, then all things are possible to him who believes." But Jesus is saying, look, don't come to me as if, "Well, if you can help a little bit, well, please do." He says, look, "I can do anything." But the degree, the amount of help depends on you and your faith. And it's the same here. The amount of oil created depended on how many jars they borrowed. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and there lived a rich woman. And she invited him in and fed him. And every time he went to Shunem, he would eat at her house. And one day she said to her husband, "I'm certain that this visitor that we have is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room and put in it a bed, table, chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he visits, he can stay there." So Elisha returned to Shunem. And one day he went up to his room to rest, and he told his servant Gehazi to go and call the woman. And when she came, he said to Gehazi, "Ask her what I can do for her in return for all the kindness that she's done in providing for what we need. Perhaps she would like me to go to the king or to the general of the army, and say something good about her to them. The woman replied, I have all I need here among my own people. It's quite possible, therefore, that she was a Gentile and not an Israelite. Well, Elisha then said to Gehazi, what do you think I can do for her then? Gehazi said, she has got no child and her husband is an old man. Elisha ordered him, tell her to come here. Well, the rich woman from Shunem came and stood in the doorway, and Elisha said to her, by this time next year, you will be embracing a son. Oh, she said, please, don't deceive me. After all, you're a man of God. But as Elisha had said, at that same time the following year, she gave birth to a son. You see there how this woman didn't actually believe, but all the same, it happened because Elisha believed. And so it can happen that our own faith might not be enough in a particular situation, but that's why you need friends to pray for you. That's why in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, it gives that story of where Jesus was in a house that was so packed with people no one could get in, and the friends of a paralyzed man climbed onto the roof, undid the roof, as you could in those days, and let down the paralyzed man. And it says that when Jesus saw the faith of the friends, he said to the paralyzed man, sons, your sins are forgiven you. So there is a degree to which, if our own faith isn't up to it, the faith and prayer of other people can mean that God does something for us which otherwise wouldn't have happened. You see this here with this woman, that she didn't really believe that she could have a child. And yet, Elisha did believe, and so it happened. Well, some years later, in the time of harvest, the boy was out with his father, with the harvest workers in the field, and suddenly the boy cried out to his father, my head, my head! The father told a servant, carry the child to his mother. The servant carried the child back to his mother, who held him until it was noon, and then he died. She carried him up to Elisha's room, put him on Elisha's bed, and then closed the door behind her. She called her husband and said to him, send a servant here with a donkey. I will go immediately to the prophet Elisha and return as soon as possible. Why do you have to go today? Her husband asked. It's not a Sabbath nor a Jewish feast. Never mind, she said. Then, when she had the donkey saddled, she ordered the servant, make the donkey go as fast as it can. Don't slow down until I tell you. So she set out and went to Mount Carmel where Elisha was. Elisha saw her coming while she was some way away and said to Gehazi, his servant, there comes the rich woman from Shunem. Hurry towards her and see if everything is all right with her, her husband, and her child. She told Gehazi that everything was all right. But when she came to Elisha, she fell down before him and grabbed hold of his feet. Gehazi was about to push her away, but Elisha said, let her be. Don't you see that she is very deeply upset? And the Lord has hidden it from me. The woman said to him, did I ask you for a son? Didn't I tell you actually not to do this? So she didn't ask Elisha to have a baby, but Elisha had done this, as it were, on his own initiative. Now she's angry with Elisha. Elisha turned to Gehazi and said, quickly, take my stick and go. Don't stop to greet anyone you meet. If anyone greets you, don't take time to answer. Go immediately to the house and hold my rod or my stick over the boy. The problem in those days is to greet people, by the way, took ages. You didn't just say, oh, hi, how you going? Yeah, see you later. It could take half an hour or an hour to go through all this elaborate, how are you, and how is your house, how are your animals, how is your mother, how is your father, and all this kind of stuff. And he said, look, you haven't got time to do that. And actually, Jesus says the same to the disciples, don't greet anyone by the way, but go and preach the gospel. I think what he's meaning is, you have got the power to give life, to save people from death. That should be the urgency that you feel. The woman said to Elisha, I swear to the living God, I will not leave you. So Elisha and the woman started back together. But Gehazi had gone on ahead, and he held Elisha's rod over the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. He went back to meet Elisha and said, the boy did not wake. When Elisha arrived, he went alone into the room and saw the boy lying dead on his bed. He closed the door and prayed to the Lord. He lay upon the boy, placing his mouth, his eyes, and his hands over the boy's mouth, eyes, and hands. And as he was stretched out over the boy's body, the boy started to get warm. Elisha walked around the room, then went back and did the same again, stretching himself over the boy. Then the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha called Gehazi and told him to call the boy's mother. When she came in, he said to her, here is your son. She fell at Elisha's feet with her face touching the ground, took her son, and left. And then there was a famine throughout the land, and Elisha returned to Gilgal. While he was teaching God's word to some of the sons of the prophets, he told his servant to put a big pot of stew on the fire, and one of them went out in the field to get some herbs, but he found a wild vine, picked as many gourds as he could carry, brought them back, sliced them up, and put them into the stew, not knowing what they were. Then they poured out the stew for the men to eat, but once they had tasted it, they all shouted out to Elisha, there is death in the pot. That is, they thought it was some sort of poison, and they wouldn't eat it. Elisha asked for some flour and threw that into the pot and said, pour out now the stew for them. And when they had done that, there was nothing wrong with it. And then on another occasion, a man came from Baal Shalisha, and he brought to Elisha 20 loaves of bread that were from the first barley that they'd harvested in the year, the first fruits, and some freshly cut ears of corn. Elisha told his servant to feed the group of sons of the prophets that were with him. But the servant replied, this is not enough for 100 men. Elisha replied, give it to them to eat, because the Lord says that they will eat and still have some left over. The servant put the food before them, and just as God had said, they all ate and there was still some left over. Now that is exactly the sort of miracle that Jesus did twice. When he fed the thousands of people, they all ate, and the disciples, his servants, said, "Ah, no, there's not enough here." But they all ate, and there was some left over. So I think when Jesus planned those miracles, because I think he did plan his miracles, he would have planned them remembering the story about Elisha. So it just shows that God works in a similar way with all his people over time. And although these kind of dramatic miracles don't happen today, God is no less active in our lives and is really willing to really get involved with us in our lives. There's a bubble.